the Public News Service Daily Newscast, June the 25th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. We head first to Arkansas, where leaders of some nonprofit organizations are not happy with a recent tax cut package passed by lawmakers there.
The law reduces the tax rate for people who make more than $25,000 a year. The corporate tax rate was also reduced from 4.8% to 4.3%. Opponents of the cuts say they only benefit the wealthy. Sayard Evans with Arkansas Coalition for Strong Families says elected officials aren't addressing issues that impact quality of life services for Arkansans, and they're concerned the cuts will impact programs.
Day in and day out, we face the challenges of people not having enough resources to meet their basic needs and to really live a legitimate quality of life that we want and expect for all of our citizens.
Supporters of the tax cut say Arkansas is expected to have a surplus of over $700 million annually, and community programs will not be affected. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
The tax cut legislation does require almost $300 million be put aside in an emergency fund in case the money is needed to make up for any revenue shortfall. And next from CNN, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has agreed to plead guilty to a felony charge related to his alleged role in one of the largest U.S. government breaches of classified material as part of a deal with the Justice Department that will allow him to avoid imprisonment in the U.S. That's according to newly filed federal documents. CNN reports under the terms of the new agreement, Justice Department prosecutors will seek a 62-month sentence, which is equal to the amount of time Assange has served in a high-security prison in London while he fought extradition to the U.S. And cities such as Boulder that have been on the vanguard of climate policies are embracing carbon capture strategies to reach their zero-emissions goals. We get more in the Smart Cities Dive, Solutions Journalism, Colorado News Connection collaboration.
Many projects are nature-based, such as reforestation, but governments are currently betting more than $220 billion taxpayer dollars on future tech-based capture tools. Will Burns with the Institute for Responsible Carbon Removal says local governments are uniquely positioned to learn what works, what doesn't, and what communities will accept and reject in their neighborhoods.
And communities can be that kind of workshop. Local communities and states have often been the laboratory, right, for national policy. So again, can they be in the context of carbon removal?
I'm Eric Galatis.
This is Public News Service. As we approach this week's debate, President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump have different views on most issues, and student loan debt is no different.
In the Reno Sparks area, one nonprofit, the Black Community Collective, is in favor of what Biden's been doing to ease the burden of student loans. Edward Coleman is with the group and applauds the multiple student loan relief initiatives that Biden has introduced, most recently announcing nearly $8 billion in forgiveness for undergraduate student loan borrowers. Coleman says his own student debt was cut by 3/4 because of Biden's actions.
Just prior to that, you know, my thought was, well, I'll be paying this back forever. And now it's like, well, this will be paid off in, you know, a few years. And then what am I going to do?
For Coleman, he says the assistance will mean he can be more financially free. New data shows that about 18% of adults say student loan debt will have a major influence over their vote in the upcoming election. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Trump has called the Biden forgiveness plan vile and suggested that if he returns to the White House, those plans could get reversed. Meantime, Ohio lawmakers have introduced a groundbreaking proposal to make child care more affordable and accessible.
The bill proposes establishing a child care cred program, a cost-sharing model to make child care more affordable and accessible to families, employers, and child care providers. Reynolds notes the average annual cost of child care for an infant and a four-year-old exceeds the average annual rent in Ohio. She says the lack of child care access has far-reaching economic and social implications affecting child development, workforce retention, and overall economic growth.
It has become clear that urgent legislative action is needed to address the affordability and availability of childcare in Ohio.
She points out the high cost of child care has become an overwhelming burden and financial strain for countless families and has forced many parents, especially mothers, to reduce their working hours or leave their job entirely. The bill allocates $10 million to kickstart the program. I'm Mark Richardson.
And finally, our Suzanne Parter lets us know June is World Ocean Month.
Advocates have been meeting with White House officials since last fall, making the case for an executive order to decarbonize maritime shipping, which largely runs on what they describe as dirty diesel fuel. Teresa Bowie is climate policy director for the group Pacific Environment.
We're asking President Biden to use the Clean Air Act authority to help establish goal-based fuel standards for ships to reduce shipping emission by 100% by 2040.
Opponents in the shipping industry say electrifying ships would carry a big price tag and raise the cost of goods.
A union formed to fight for the rights of Bozeman's lower-income renters is pushing for mandatory legal assistance for people facing eviction. Opponents say it's unfair to landlords.
Bozeman Tenants United calls itself a multiracial, intergovernmental movement to win safe, dignified, and affordable housing for working-class renters. Director Benjamin Finnegan says rising rents and less availability is proving to be death by a thousand cuts for these renters, whom he says are forced to spend as much as half of their income on housing, if they can afford it at all. He calls evictions acts of violence and claims they're at the heart of Bozeman's housing crisis.
Where an eviction, in a lot of ways, is a death sentence. It means that you are out on the street with nowhere to go, possibly with kids. It means that you have a red stamp on your rental record, and it will be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to find new housing.
Finnegan's working to get financial support from Bozeman to pay for legal representation for low-income households facing eviction. The State Landlords Association is among the groups pushing back on that idea, saying rent prices are simply driven by market conditions and supply and demand. This is Mark Moran.
Meantime, more than a million people under flood warnings in the upper Midwest as of Sunday, after days of heavy rain that forced evacuations and rescues in several states, that from the BBC. They report the hardest hit have been Iowa and South Dakota, where some rivers reached record high levels. At least one person died in the floods in South Dakota. Meantime, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds called the floods catastrophic and has declared a state of disaster in 21 counties. And farm producers and landowners have until the end of this week to apply for the U.S. Department of Agriculture Farm Security Agency's Grassland Conservation Reserve Program, also known as the Grassland CRP. Our Deborah Van Fleet explains.
Over 2 million acres of Nebraska land are enrolled in one of the three CRP programs, nearly three-fourths of it in grassland. It is unique among the CRP programs in that landowners are allowed to continue using the land for grazing or haying. FSA Administrator Zach Ducheneau says grazing on CRP land often involves more hands-on practices
that are really aimed at enhancing soil health through the use of livestock in a way that will eventually lead to increased productivity, and producers will see more biodiversity. They'll end up seeing better production from the land for their livestock.
Since 1985, landowners have voluntarily taken acres out of production through the Conservation Reserve programs. They receive a rental payment in return. June 28th is the deadline for 2024 applications.
This is Public News Service. And Big Oil is reported to be dropping the ball when it comes to meeting their public pledges to help avert catastrophic climate change.
U.S.-based corporations Chevron, ConocoPhillips, and ExxonMobil each ranked grossly insufficient on all of the report's criteria. Co-author David Tong says just 5% of the sector's capital investments are in clean energy. Over 90% is going into fossil fuels.
None of them come anywhere close with aligning with what's needed to confront the climate crisis. Instead of cutting production, they almost all aim to increase production this critical decade.
Several oil companies mentioned in the report said it misrepresented their climate plans. I'm Eric Galatis.
And West Virginia healthcare advocates are applauding a recent proposed rule by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to remove medical bills from credit reports.
Healthcare organizer with West Virginia Citizen Action Group, Mindy Salango, says more West Virginians are being forced to find ways to pay out of pocket, relying on credit cards and crowdfunding websites. She adds patients often receive unexpected medical bills and struggle to understand costs, making it difficult to compare medical debt to other loans.
When you're going for an emergency surgery, they don't give you an outline of all the charges that you're going to be hit with. They do the surgery and then you get the bill. If you go in to buy a car, they give you paperwork. You know exactly what you're signing on the dotted line for.
The proposed rule would close a regulatory loophole that has kept vast amounts of medical debt information in the credit reporting system and would help prevent debt collectors from coercing payments for inaccurate or false medical bills. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Finally, California's newest state park in decades, called Dos Rios, is a haven for wildlife and visitors, but also helps the state be more resilient to drought and flooding linked to climate change. Suzanne Potter has more in this Reasons to be Cheerful Solutions Journalism Network, California News Service collaboration.
The land at the confluence of the San Joaquin and Tuolumne Rivers outside Modesto used to be farmland, but crews have removed berms to restore the natural floodplain. John Kane is with River Partners, the nonprofit behind the rewilding project.
When we step back from the river, when we give the river more room, flooding actually is a very productive process for the ecosystem. It recharges groundwater. It filters polluted water. It nourishes riparian forests, support all kinds of wildlife. It's alive.
The Public News Service Tuesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. Workers who help Washington State classrooms run are calling for higher wages. We get the details from Eric Tegedoff.
Known as classified staff, their jobs include administrative work, transportation, and custodial services. Unions representing workers, including the American Federation of Teachers of Washington and Washington Education Association, have launched a wage campaign to increase pay for these workers. Anitra Wise works with the Tacoma School District as a paraeducator, helping teachers in the classroom. She says her wages simply aren't enough.
We have to work 2 and 3 different jobs just to catch up with the cost of living, including housing, groceries, and things that we need to survive.
With Washington State school districts out for summer, classified staff members face another challenge, the suspension of their low wages.
And the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy declared gun violence a public health crisis Tuesday and called on the nation to address it with the same vigor it used to reduce deaths and injuries from tobacco and motor vehicle crashes. That from the Washington Post. They report the Surgeon General's advisory marked the first time the nation's leading voice in public health, the same office that in the 1960s highlighted the lethal consequences of cigarette smoking, had issued an urgent pronouncement on deaths related to firearms. The Post notes that overall deaths caused by guns rose to a 3-decade high in 2021, driven by increases in homicides and suicides. Meantime, advocates in Wyoming who are trying to get music therapy licensure recognized in the state are hitting roadblocks.
Members of the Wyoming Music Therapy Task Force fielded questions last week from the state's Joint Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee. Music therapy can help relieve anxiety, dementia, and stroke symptoms, as well as aid people living with multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's disease, according to the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health. Task Force Chair Hillary Camino told the committee she wants music therapy to be a protected title to increase access and so that practitioner qualifications are clear.
We often work with vulnerable populations, people who cannot advocate for themselves. So it is very important that we know what we're doing when working with those very vulnerable populations in a clinical setting.
I'm Kathleen Shannon.
And conservation advocates say a new Bureau of Land Management final environmental impact statement takes positive steps toward developing a management plan to conserve public lands in Northwest California. The Northwest California Integrated Resource Management Plan will manage more than 360,000 acres in Mendocino, Humboldt, and Trinity. John Hayshicks with the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors.
It provides some protections for some of these areas that are very sensitive, like Eden Valley, which is very environmentally fragile areas, and then also the Eel River. It's a wild and scenic river. So just making sure that these are managed properly is very important.
This is Public News Service. As we approach this week's debate, President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump have different views on most issues, and student loan debt is no different.
In the Reno Sparks area, one nonprofit, the Black Community Collective, is in favor of what Biden's been doing to ease the burden of student loans. Edward Coleman is with the group and applauds the multiple student loan relief initiatives that Biden has introduced, most recently announcing nearly $8 billion in forgiveness for undergraduate student loan borrowers. Coleman says his own student debt was cut by 3/4 because of Biden's actions.
Just prior to that, you know, my thought was, well, I'll be paying this back forever. And now it's like, well, this will be paid off in, you know, a few years. And then what am I going to do?
For Coleman, he says the assistance will mean he can be more financially free. New data shows that about 18% of adults say student loan debt will have a major influence over their vote in the upcoming election. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Trump has called the Biden forgiveness plan vile and suggested that if he returns to the White House, those plans could get reversed. Meantime, Ohio lawmakers have introduced a groundbreaking proposal to make child care more affordable and accessible.
The bill proposes establishing a child care cred program, a cost-sharing model to make child care more affordable and accessible to families, employers, and child care providers. Reynolds notes the average annual cost of child care for an infant and a four-year-old exceeds the average annual rent in Ohio. She says the lack of child care access has far-reaching economic and social implications affecting child development, workforce retention, and overall economic growth.
It has become clear that urgent legislative action is needed to address the affordability and availability of childcare in Ohio.
She points out the high cost of childcare has become an overwhelming burden and financial strain for countless families and has forced many parents, especially mothers, to reduce their working hours or leave their job entirely. The bill allocates $10 million to kickstart the program. I'm Mark Richardson.
And finally, our Suzanne Parter lets us know June is World Ocean Month.
Advocates have been meeting with White House officials since last fall, making the case for an executive order to decarbonize maritime shipping, which largely runs on what they describe as dirty diesel fuel. Teresa Bowie is climate policy director for the group Pacific Environment.
We're asking President Biden to use the Clean Air Act authority to help establish goal-based fuel standards for ships to reduce shipping emission by 100% by 2040.
Opponents in the shipping industry say electrifying ships would carry a big price tag and raise the cost of goods.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We're willing to hire the best attorneys to fight them in court with all the shenanigans they're playing, with all the anomalies we've seen happen.
Nevada Republican Party Chair Michael McDonald had vowed to fight the criminal charges he tried to overturn former President Donald Trump's 2020 loss in the state. The fake electors case against McDonald and five others has been dismissed by a state judge, saying prosecutors filed in the wrong county. Democrats say they want to appeal. Courts in Arizona, Georgia, and Michigan are considering similar cases. Officials in Milwaukee say people will be allowed to carry guns within blocks of the Republican National Convention next month. U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle says local officials can't alter Wisconsin gun laws for the event, but weapons will be banned within the convention's perimeter.
Previous experience and extensive preparation all contribute to a level of confidence ahead of this convention. We have been busy preparing for any possible scenario, including planned and pop-up demonstrations.
Protesters have been offered two outdoor stages, one within sight of the convention arena. More than 100 organizations have applied to demonstrate so far. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has vetoed a bill making it illegal to wear a mask in public, but for reasons tied to campaign finance. Democratic State Representative Tim Longest says an amendment to the bill would undo some limits on dark money groups.
Billionaire donors who want to buy our state elections, but who don't want the public to know what they are doing or who they are giving to, will be able to use these out-of-state entities to funnel money to the committees of these top candidates.
Democrats say the changes are meant to bolster fundraising for the GOP's far-right gubernatorial candidate, Mark Robinson, who has so far raised only half as much as his Democratic opponent. While House Republicans make claims about non-citizens voting in federal elections, some right-wing groups are targeting municipalities that do let them cast ballots in local races. A new lawsuit claims Burlington is violating the Vermont Constitution by letting non-citizens vote in school board races, but State Representative Hal Colston says both the legislature and a majority of voters approved the law.
This is the local control that Vermont champions. This is the local democracy that other states covet.
The Justice Department says the state of Alaska is violating the Americans with Disabilities Act by not providing accessible voting machines or polling places. Kenai, Alaska resident Maggie Winston tells Alaska News Source that often means a lack of privacy for voters with physical challenges.
It would be great as an adult to be able to independently vote without having to tell someone who I'm voting for.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
If the radical Democrat extremes get their way, they will have a federal law for abortion.
Over the weekend, former President Donald Trump spoke to evangelicals and citing efforts in Congress to make Roe the law of the land. He again took credit for appointing three Supreme Court justices who helped overturn it. The Faith and Freedom Coalition has been fighting for a national abortion ban, but Trump says the decision should be left to the states. At the same event, Trump repeated that he has made his VP pick. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris says most Americans will continue to vote to protect their reproductive freedoms. She calls that access part of a healthcare crisis for many who look to the clinics for more than just abortions.
In those clinics that are trusted in the community, you can get a PAP, breast cancer screening, HIV screening.
About 6 in 10 Americans say abortion should be legal in all or most cases, according to the Pew Research Center. Former federal prosecutor and University of Alabama law professor Joyce Vance says she's confident the justice system can handle a defendant like Trump, but adds she has more confidence in American voters.
You know, the biggest check on Donald Trump has been us, the voters. And I continue to believe that that's the biggest check on Donald Trump. It's really hard to contest an election when the numbers are overwhelming.
President Joe Biden's reelection team is looking to expand its appeal to older voters in key states. His campaign is rolling out its Seniors for Biden-Harris effort, led by First Lady Jill Biden.
Age is a gift. I mean, but there are still those who not only devalue our wisdom and dismiss our experience, they want to destroy the structures that help us thrive.
New data shows older voters are supporting Biden, even putting him a full 15 points ahead of Trump in a new Fox News poll. Three drag queens will be on Capitol Hill tomorrow for a drag lobby day, calling for greater protections for LGBTQ people. Austin, Texas-based drag queen Bridget Bandit will be one of those advocating for the Equality Act to extend federal non-discrimination protections to LGBTQ people and the Transgender Bill of Rights.
And we have the responsibility to combat the increasingly hateful attacks on our LGBTQIA+ community. In the words of my favorite drag queen, Sasha Velour, violence is never the answer, but drag might be.
2 decades after the first state in the U.S. permitted same-sex couples to marry, a new report finds that marriage equality has made a profound impact on their lives. Clark University professor of psychology, Abby Goldberg, calls marriage equality successful public health.
They have access to health insurance. They are physically and mentally healthier. They're able to share the challenges and work of raising children.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Rural educators are looking for ways to teach students about social issues, such as racial equality, along with the rights of women and the LGBTQ plus community. But the Daily Yonder's Lane Wendell Fisher reports those efforts are often stymied by district policies and community dynamics.
So difficult to maneuver through bringing up these issues when oftentimes in rural spaces where maybe these issues aren't talked about as much, it can be controversial.
A national movement to ban teaching on race, equity, and inclusion has had real impact, and DEI efforts have stopped on some campuses. The Rural Assembly and its partners conducted a focus group with rural educators across the country. Many said they still work to integrate social issues into lesson plans, with Lane noting that can teach empathy, fairness, and respect for diverse viewpoints.
Teachers really want structural support from the school to help successfully approach these issues, cover these issues, to feel that support from the administration.
Dollar store chains offer food and necessities at low prices. But as Molly Egan explains, rural economies can pay a cost in other ways.
Dollar stores are the fastest growing retail sector,
But when they come to town, rural communities are three times as likely to see established small businesses close than urban areas. Kennedy Smith is with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance.
Community leaders need to be aware that the benefits of a locally owned business are far superior to those of a chain that's going to be taking profits out of the community and sending them someplace else.
Some local communities have passed ordinances to ban, limit, or improve chain dollar stores. Smith offers zoning codes as one way to control the influx and promote sustainable alternatives.
Does your zoning code support and encourage development of healthy food stores? Can we incentivize it?
I'm Molly Egan.
The grasslands of the Great Plains are less than half the size they once were and shrinking. 1.5 million acres were destroyed in 2021 alone. But a federal program is now boosting conservation, and it's popular. Jeff Zimprick with the South Dakota Grassland Coalition says a 2023 poll found 3/4 of residents were more likely to vote for candidates who support healthy grasslands management.
They know that grasslands provide clean water, clean air. They know grasslands build healthy soils, and they appreciate what's involved in the economy as well.
The USDA's program guides producers and landowners to adopt modern grazing and haying techniques, which state officials say has helped protect almost 7 million acres of grasslands in the past 3 years. Pine City, Minnesota is celebrating its 19th annual Pride Festival. It claims the title of the oldest rural Pride Festival in the country. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.